Good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and, of course, live streaming audio at ktym.com. Thanks again for tuning in to Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. As always, we bring you up to date on the weather in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. And today it hit 76 degrees in the capital city. And tomorrow will be similar, only warmer. 79 is the predicted high for Sunday and all the way up to 82 on Monday. The lows overnight are 57 and 62, respectively, and then temperatures will fall again to a little bit more normal in the mid-70s for the remainder of the week, only to heat up again next Sunday, August 4th, back up to 80 degrees. So quite a warm late July, early August in the capital of Lithuania, Vilnius. Now, as long as we're speaking about weather, we need to tell you that the rain that some of us locally have experienced in the last day or two, the showers and the humidity, is a little more extreme up in the mountains of Southern California. Specifically, I'm referring to the San Bernardino Mountains and Big Bear, Holcomb Valley, the Lithuanian Scout Camp. It's been raining on and off up there, and the road, the Van Dusen Road, the short straight road known as Van Dusen, is it's not completely washed out, but if you don't have a four-wheel drive vehicle, you might want to avoid it. You might want to take Pulte Canyon if you're going up this weekend. Okay, most of you probably already left because by this time of the day you're well on your way, but if there's any hearing any of this, or you're going later, or you're going tomorrow, you might want to avoid, again, if you have a sedan, you should probably avoid Van Dusen Road, which is the traditional straight shot road, and you should take Pulte Canyon instead out of Fawnskin. Pulte Canyon, right behind the ranger station outside of Fawnskin. You'll figure it out, most of you know anyway, but word to the wise, again, if you have a four-door sedan, please avoid Van Dusen Road. Otherwise, there's 100 young people up there. They're having a great time, getting a little bit wet, and enjoying the drama that comes with thunderstorms and rain showers in the San Bernardino Mountains. And we hope you enjoy it up there, too. Well, over the past several weeks, we've been reporting on all the controversy surrounding the Gay Pride Parade through Vilnius's capital, through Lithuania's capital, Vilnius. And, it happened today. And we're going to sort of give you a little timeline, because the whole country was watching. It began by this story: rejecting an appeal by Vilnius authorities, the court underlined that the right to assemble must be ensured for minorities and people with non-popular views as well. Restrictions on the March for Freedom are not necessary in a democratic society, said the courts. Okay, so the court said that the Vilnius Regional Administrative Court was right in its ruling that the march on Gediminas Avenue, chosen by the organizers, would, quote, ensure a proper balance of personal rights and public interest. Democracy does not simply mean the reign of majority attitudes. By ensuring democratic pluralism, the state has positive duties to ensure effective use of right to peaceful assembly, also for persons with non-popular views or minority members, said the court statement. So, anyway, the parade went on today as planned. There was some heckling and some incidents, but let's give you more background. Members of the European Parliament from the Netherlands, Sweden, and Austria also took place in the parade. Lithuanian parliamentarian Leonidas Donskis and his Dutch colleague Sofia Inveldt and Swedish colleague Cecilia Wikström took part in the parade today. So the Dutch parliamentarian Sophia Veld invited Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė to take part in the parade. The president said in response that she does not take part in any parades. Birgitta Olsen also gave a speech at the opening ceremony. She's in Vilnius now and will also go to Riga to attend that Baltic Pride parade. She is quoted as saying, "For me, it is extremely important to come back to Vilnius. I was there for the Baltic Pride Festival in 2010 and again in 2007. Pride parades are a litmus test for freedom and democracy. It should be possible to arrange them in all of the EU without threats, violence, or harassments." So said EU Minister Birgitta Olsen. Finally, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association had a few words to say about the final court judgment allowing the parade today. Once again, quote, "We applaud the Lithuanian justice system, Lithuanian and all Baltic activists, for this important human rights victory. As Lithuania currently hosts the EU presidency and thus is a public face of the EU, the European Union, we expect from Lithuanian authorities nothing less than an exemplary action ensuring respect and observation of human rights and fundamental EU principles. According to our Rainbow Europe Index, which came out in May, Lithuania came in 31st among 49 European countries in terms of laws and policies affecting the human rights of the gay community." So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, what we can tell you about what happened today. However, there are reports coming in, again, Lithuania is ahead of us by several hours. So we're going to catch up next week and give some more details from reports that are just coming in about what physically actually happened at the parade and along the parade route. So tune in next week and we'll wrap this perhaps tempest in a teapot up. We'll be right back. Arba upės dugnu iš kito kranto, kuriame šviesa lyg debesų. About 30 seconds of the ubiquitous Andrius Mamontovas singing about rain and rivers and water and boats and clouds. Love that man. Great guy. And I've been told on the short break that the opening music today, I forgot to talk about that, okay? That was a little bit of piano music, set a little bit of a mood. I was kind of melancholy today again. And that was Tony Dulkis, okay? Tony Dulkis is a member of our community here in Southern California, and he recorded an album of his piano creations. And we had him here on the show talking about how he loves music and how he'd done that several years ago. Anyway, the opening music today, the piano music, was by Tony Dulkis. So here we are back, and I've got a few stories to share with you. Here's a positive one. The young Lithuanian of the Toronto Raptors, you all know him, Jonas Valančiūnas, has been voted most valuable player during the Summer League of the NBA held in Las Vegas. Yes, the Summer League is a shortened season where rookies, second-year players, and unsigned prospects, along with other D-League players, mix together on experimental team rosters to let coaches see what lineups work and which ones do not. It's also an opportunity for players who never got a lot of minutes in the regular season to prove themselves. Valančiūnas seems to have done just that. He averaged nearly 19 points and 10 boards in his Summer League debut. This was enough to win him the Most Valuable Player Award. During his rookie year in the NBA, he showed flashes of promise, averaging 9 points and 6 rebounds, and making it on the all-rookie second team. It was obvious, though, that his skinny frame was hindering his success when he would get pushed around by bulky NBA players. Apparently, he has been hitting the weight room in the offseason as he came into the summer league with noticeably more muscle mass added to his 6'11 frame. 6'11, just about 7 feet. This is crucial, especially for Valanciunas' style of play, where he is not afraid to bang on the inside and take hits to draw fouls. Along with his inner toughness and lack of fear, he does possess many low-post skills and a soft touch around the basket. No one, however, would ever accuse him of being soft or European-style finesse player like his former teammate Andrea Bargani, whom the Raptors traded to the Knicks. It seems as though Jonas Valanciunas is developing his game quite well, and he takes pride in his efficiency as a player. He averaged over 8 free throw attempts a game, where he made them at almost 90%. His overall field goal percentage is over 56%, making a majority of shots he attempts. Apparently, he has made himself a double threat, able to knock down 15-foot elbow jumpers or finish at the rim where he draws fouls and then knocks down the subsequent free throws. The rest of the summer, Jonas has committed to play for the Lithuanian national team in the upcoming Eurobasket tournament held in Slovenia beginning in about a month, late August. There he will take the court with the other promising Lithuanian rookie, Donatas Motiejūnas. This should make Lithuania quite formidable, especially in the front court. I have personally seen Valanciunas play a couple of times, and a great way to describe him would be a gentle giant. That's what he is, and he's developing his skills. He will be a force to be reckoned with more than anyone imagines right now. There are people, of course, who have brought him out to our attention. That's why we pay attention, and so on and so forth. But he will fulfill all those expectations and more. Any regular listeners of this program will know that we're quite eclectic around here. You know, we'll talk about anything. And sometimes, perhaps some of you think we've devoted way too much time to the gay Baltic Pride Parade issues and all that. But these are headline issues in Lithuania. On the other hand, there's some serious issues that we need to be reminded of all the time as far as Lithuania in the international community. And Lithuania is involved in the war on terror in Afghanistan. A new unit made up of members of the Lithuanian Armed Forces will be formally deployed to Afghanistan on July 25th. The unit, which will be in charge of protecting the head of special mission of the Republic of Lithuania in Afghanistan, is formed by 6 members of the Klaipeda garrison of the military police of the Lithuanian Armed Forces. The Minister of National Defense, Juozas Olekas, will be present at the formal deployment ceremony. The special mission of the Republic of Lithuania in Afghanistan is a diplomatic representation established by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Lithuania in 2005. The key mission of the representation is to support the activity of the Lithuanian-led provincial reconstruction team in Shahrjan, the capital of Gor province. The special mission assists local government in implementing development cooperation, economic and social development, education, and other projects in the province. It also coordinates cooperation with other donor states, such as the United Nations Assistant Mission in Afghanistan and other international partners and local organizations. The head of the Lithuanian Special Mission in Afghanistan is Gintaras Bagdonas. Lithuania has scheduled its withdrawal of forces from Gor province and closed the PRT mission by the end of this year, 2013. Currently, there are 260 Lithuanian troops conducting services in Afghanistan. They are deployed to Gor, NATO operational headquarters in Kabul, in Herat, and in South Afghanistan. Special Operations Squadron of the Lithuanian Armed Forces and a Lithuanian-run air mentoring team are in charge of training local helicopter pilots. Both are deployed in southern Afghanistan. National support elements, a smaller number of Lithuanian officers across NATO operational headquarters, and the protection team of the head of the Lithuanian Special Mission in Afghanistan will serve until the end of the International Security Assistance Force mission in 2014. So while these brave men and women are putting their lives on the line. You know, some of the crazies at home in Lithuania are protesting. Apparently, they want to be dependent on Russian gas. This past Wednesday, a group of people against shale gas exploration and extraction protested in front of the Ministry of Environment and are calling for the resignation of the Minister of Environment, Valentinas Mazuronis. According to protesters, Juozas Mockevičius, director of the Lithuanian Geological Service, was forced to resign from his office after he showed sympathy towards their attitudes about shale gas exploration and extraction. Quote, we do not want some spineless clerk would be appointed to the position of Juozas Mockevičius, a person who could not express his opinion as a specialist and would only obey political instructions. Therefore, we are gathering on July 24th at the Ministry of the Environment to propose to the Minister of Environment, Valentinas Mazuronis, to resign. The Minister of Environment is not a specialist. He is a politician, they continue. As a consequence, in accordance with the powers conferred on him by voters, he must take into account the opinion of specialists that might be very significant to the quality of well-being of local residents instead of firing officers having an extensive professional experience in the area of geology only because of a difference of opinion, said many of the protesters and pickets. In other words, they don't, they believe there is a conspiracy to extract via fracking natural gas in Lithuania rather than the scientific proof that it can be done safely. Well, let's go to some good news. Only 16% of computer science students consider working abroad after graduation. This is good news, if the survey is to be believed. Survey of 500 students from four Lithuanian universities. Some 53% of students wish to work in Lithuania. 23% of them would start their own business, and 8% are undecided, according to responses from computer science students of Vilnius University, Kaunas University of Technology, Vilnius Gediminas Technical University, and Vytautas Magnus University. The survey was carried out by NFQ, a Lithuanian software and e-business development firm, in collaboration with the aforementioned universities. The survey reveals Java to be the most popular programming language. Java was followed by HTML. And I'm going to spare you all this, okay? The bottom line is, quote, we are happy to share the results with academia, IT employers, and policymakers. Knowing what is important for future generation of developers will allow everyone to be better prepared for their entrance to the labor market. Lithuanian computer science students picked web as their most interesting application development environment. Okay, third was mobile. Students also revealed their career and remuneration expectations. Now, this is kind of interesting. The average expected salary for a junior developer, okay, the average when the students were asked what they could expect to make, the answer was about 1,880 lithi a month. That was the average. That's $725 a month. They expect to get about $725 a month. Okay, when they graduate computer science. When it comes to a salary to motivate an experienced developer, the average jumped to 5,700 lithi, or about 2,200 a month. Okay, so when you think about it, 2,200 a month, what's that? About $28,000 a year. Okay, for less than $30,000 a year, they would be motivated. The answers also suggest that career progression and learning opportunities, 93% of them said that was important, are the foremost factors when choosing an employer. The size of salary and interesting projects were second and third. Interestingly, less than 20% of students were concerned about the size of the company that they worked for. Now, of course, if you have a job, you want a place to live, and you have to buy an apartment or a house. Well, we're glad to tell you that the market seems to have stabilized, and Vilnius apartment prices actually edged up just barely for the fifth month in a row, rising 0.1%, okay, to about 1,198 euros per square meter. according to the Baltic course. Okay, that, so that basically works out to about $1,500 per square yard. Okay, a little, maybe a little more, maybe more like $1,600 per square yard. So a 1,000 square foot apartment, average, 1,000 square foot apartment in Vilnius, which is a, you know, a compact three bedroom or a very spacious two bedroom apartment, would run you about $160,000 average. Okay, and obviously in an old town it's going to be double that, and out in the outskirts it's going to be half that, but that's the average price. Anyway, the overall value of the apartment index shows apartment prices in five major Lithuanian cities, Vilnius, Kaunas, Klaipėda, Šiauliai, and Panevėžys, remain unchanged overall. The rate of decline overall has slowed to 0.09% from 1.7% recorded in the beginning of the year. The prices of apartment in Vilnius were up by 1.1% during the first half. In June, a fall of 0.5% in prices was observed in Šiauliai in northern Lithuania, while the average price per square meter in this city went down to only about 254 euros. So that's something like $300 a square meter, a square yard, okay? $300 a square yard. So it's less than, what, a fourth, about a fourth of what an apartment costs in Vilnius. So if you want to live in Šiauliai for about 25 cents on the dollar, you can buy the same apartment. Finally today, we want to share with you a report from Stratfor Global Intelligence. And it addresses the fact that 60% of the public in Lithuania feel apprehensive about Lithuania's decision to join the Eurozone. Lithuania has reaffirmed its intention to apply for membership in 2014, even though its accession could very well be delayed by the currency union's ongoing problems or by its own failures to meet EU-mandated targets. Finally, some EU countries still want to join the Eurozone despite the risk that membership entails. For Vilnius, the rewards of membership may outweigh the risks if stronger orientation to Western Europe distances Lithuania from its longtime adversary, Russia. Lithuanian Prime Minister Algirdas Butkevičius said his country remained resolute in its decision to join the Eurozone as recently as July. If the accession process goes smoothly, Lithuania would gain entry as early as 2015, becoming the last Baltic country to have adopted the euro. Estonia joined in 2011, and Latvia is set to become the 18th member next year. Eurozone membership would yet be another step in Vilnius's path to insulate itself from Russian influence. In addition to escaping Russian influence, Lithuania hopes that Eurozone accession would ensure economic prosperity through greater foreign investment. The 2008 financial crisis hurt the Lithuanian economy, of course, but the country has since recovered, showing some resilience to the ills affecting other European countries. In 2009, the economy contracted by almost 15%. By mid-2010, the unemployment rate was more than 18%, five times higher than in 2008. But Lithuania has been one of the fastest-growing economies in the European Union, growing an annual average of 3.7% over the past few years. It is expected to grow around 3% this year. Unemployment has also dropped in May. It stood at 11%. On the surface, Lithuania's Eurozone accession appears both inevitable and straightforward. The Lithuanian currency, the litas, has been fixed to the euro since 2002 and has been part of the European exchange rate mechanism, a requirement to join the Eurozone. Moreover, Lithuania appears ideally suited to implement EU austerity measures. Over the past few years, Vilnius has cut social security contributions and wages to keep government debt and deficits in check. It also cut its budget deficit from over 9% in 2009 to 3.2% in 2012. The government's debt level is at around 41% of gross domestic product, well below the 60% threshold under the EU guidelines. However, Lithuania's joining the currency bloc may be more daunting than it first appears. Lithuania wanted to join the Eurozone in 2007, but in 2006, the European Union said Lithuania's inflation rate was too high for consideration. At that time, the rate was 3.5%, higher than the 2.7 limit set by the bloc. Notably, some in Lithuania partly blamed the country's inflation problem on Russia, on which Lithuania relies heavily for natural gas imports. rising gas prices at the time were seen as contributory to higher energy prices and therefore to inflation. As part of its overall strategy to distance itself from Russia, Lithuania now wants to lessen its natural gas dependency from its eastern neighbor by importing liquefied natural gas into late 2014. Regardless of who is to blame, inflation is still seen as an obstacle for Lithuanian Eurozone membership. Lithuania's economy is expected to continue to grow, so the government will have to try to regulate wage increases to contain inflation. In any case, the budget deficit will have to be reduced and kept at below 3%. In trying to meet those targets, the government risks angering voters, as it has, and fueling opposition towards Eurozone accession. According to a survey conducted in January, 50% of Lithuanian citizens disapprove of Eurozone membership. On the other hand, Lithuanian business leaders largely approve of joining the Euro. A survey published by the Lithuanian Confederation of Industrialists in May showed that 84% of businessmen asked want Lithuania to join the Eurozone. However, only 51% said this should happen in 2015, and some 45% said Lithuania should only join once the Eurozone is more stable. But public discontent alone will not derail the government plan. Vilnius does not have to hold a referendum on Eurozone accession. Further economic deterioration at home and in the currency union could change Vilnius's plans, but for now this seems unlikely. The Lithuanian government will keep pushing for Eurozone accession, even if the accession process is delayed again. Flawed as it is, the currency union probably is a preferable alternative to isolation as Eurozone countries try to forge closer ties with one another at the expense of the remaining EU members. Lithuania is worried that the European Union's interest in Eastern Europe, especially in countries that are part of the Eastern Partnership Program, but not the bloc itself, will wane as EU power brokers concentrate on resolving the issues of the core. Lithuania currently holds the EU presidency, and until the end of the year, will be using this as a platform to highlight its strong ties with Western Europe and advocate stronger integration of all of Eastern Europe into the European Union. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. For better or for worse, Lithuania is headed to join the EU fully, adopt the euro, do away with the Lithas, and take the consequences as they come. Those are the facts of the matter, regardless of how the population feels about it. Anyway, we're about running out of time. This is Kęstutis Reividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. We appreciate you lending us your ears this Saturday afternoon, and we hope you listen next week and in the following weeks, and tell your friends to tune in at KTYM.com. And don't forget to support those who support us, including Eurodelimart Lituanica, at the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Yale Street. That's 28 blocks from the beach. Open 7 days for your convenience, where you can sample imported Lithuanian food products, including real Lithuanian rye bread imported for you, and of course, Silkes herring, the real thing from the Baltics. Once again, Kęstutis Reividas signing off. Thanks for listening. Sudiev.